Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan. Joining me as we continue the Meet the Candidates series is another candidate to be the next Beltrami County Sheriff, Jason Riggs. Welcome to our humble studios.
Well, thank you for having me.
So why don't we learn a little bit about you? Like, how long have you been in the area?
I came over from Itasca County in that area back in 2002. I was the police chief in Black Duck. That's what kind of brought us to Beltrami County. I was up there for 2 years as the police chief, and then I was hired on by Keith Winger as a deputy sheriff for Beltrami County.
And how long have you been, how long's your resume with law enforcement?
21 years and some change in Minnesota law enforcement, and then about 3.5 years in the United States Navy, some security forces type of work, which is more physical security than investigative type of stuff. But we still dealt with the domestic assaults and traffic control and traffic enforcement on bases.
So what initially attracted you to the field of law enforcement?
I had intended in the military to go down a different path. And when I started down the security forces path, I kind of liked the day-to-day challenges that came about with that, and it just seemed to fit. And then at the end of my my first active duty enlistment, I decided I was going to go to school for that, and that's ultimately what I did.
Where'd you go to school?
At the time, it was called Range Technical College, which was in Hibbing, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yep. And then
and they have the skills training there in Hibbing, right?
Correct. Yeah. Alex and Hibbing were the two premier schools in the state for the skills program, and there have been some additional ones that have popped up over the last couple of decades. But
well, what drew you to throw your name in the ring for this sheriff's race?
You know, I've been a part of law enforcement now for, Minnesota 21 and then an additional 3.5 years. I'm a servant. I look forward to serving the people that I work for. And I think that true servant leadership has left law enforcement over the past maybe a couple of decades. Not that I've seen anything like, I wouldn't point the finger at anyone in particular, but I think that as law enforcement, we need to do a better job of connecting with the community, being a part of the community, and installing people in law enforcement roles to do just that, to become servant leaders. Every person a leader, not just a follower. And we need people to follow, don't get me wrong, but we still need those folks to go out and be leaders in their communities. And this community is kind of a little bit different in the sense that where I came from in Itasca County, there was a lot more municipalities that were sectioned out by the sheriff's office. Beltrami County, Bemidji is kind of the hub, and there's a lot of ground to cover, and we just don't have a lot of people to go out and find those very rural areas.
Yeah, it's like 75 miles from here to that northwestern corner of Grigla, right? It's around there?
As far north as we've been, I've seen 104 miles.
Ooh,
on my trip meter.
Okay.
And you better fill up with fuel before you head up there.
Fair. I have to remember that next time any business takes me to Grigla. So what are some of the challenges you see in Beltrami County's law enforcement?
Relationships with the communities. Two immediate Native American communities that touch our borders, and we need to have relationships with them to combat crime. I mean, we share, and you can't even say just those two areas. We take on the same problem that Cass County, Hubbard County, Couchiching County, Itasca County. We all share similar people because people work, they travel through this community to get to where they're going. And ultimately, we need to have relationships built with those entities, other government entities, other tribal government entities, to make an impact in problem solving and solving crimes.
Well, that's interesting. Bring up relationship building. Now, as I understand, there is a lot of a disconnect, some trust issues between Indigenous American folks and the hand of law enforcement. What are your thoughts? What are your ideas on how to improve those relationships?
First of all, we've got to be able to sit down with one another and have difficult conversations. We can't just you know, the last couple of years have shown us with COVID, you know, everybody wants to stay away, push away to their far corners and stay apart. We needed to get back to sitting down with folks and actually talking through some of these hard issues. And ultimately, what I've seen in my career is communication is the number one key to success in any relationship, whether that's you and your spouse, you and your children, and, you know, as far as, you know, people getting along with one another at work and government getting along with the people that it serves.
And I understand law enforcement agencies such as Beltrami County have numerous partnerships through memorandums of understandings. You know, if we need help, you come over. If you need help, we'll come over.
Right.
Is there, do you see any challenges between the MOUs between Beltrami County and our tribal police partners?
You know, I know that there's some current talk with the Leech Lake Reservation and the Leech Lake Police Department specifically wanting to have their own
jurisdictional thing?
There's a combined law enforcement agreement right now that's been in effect since the early 2000s. I didn't want to say like 2000 or 2001. They are their own police entity. Right now, four different sheriffs have signed this memorandum of understanding in the combined law enforcement agreement. I myself would be supportive of them becoming their own entity. That would relieve, you know, a huge burden on the operational side of the things that we would have to do. I don't think that this would change anything with regards to the service provided to that community, whether you're a Native American living on the Leech Lake Reservation
or a non-band member.
If you call 911, you're still going to get, and typically you still get both entities to show up at your door. It gives them the ability to investigate their own crimes as it happens on the reservation.
So as we, you know, the Beltrami County Jail it's a big project, and it has a lot of challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges you see facing the county jail as it currently stands? We'll get to the upcoming jail project in a minute.
Sure. Well, we are definitely busting at the seams. The jail was built in the late 80s, I think occupied somewhere in the early 90s era. And it was built at the time for a significantly lower number of inmates than it currently houses. Right now, we, on our average daily population, actually physically in our jail runs between the upper 90s and lower 100s, and we're currently housing out of county, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood between upper 30s and low 40s, and we haven't hit the peak of summer yet.
And I understand housing inmates out of county is an expensive business.
It is very expensive. You know, to the tune of, you know, we're looking at if things stay the way they are, you know, it could be $750,000, you know, by the end of this year when it comes down to it.
So the Minnesota Department of Corrections has issued, you know, a series of orders to Beltrami County to make a major overhaul of the jail project, of the current jail, whether that's a new site, an expanded site, whatever. What do you hope to see in that project? What are you looking for when it comes to a new jail or a newer jail?
A newer jail. You know, our current footprint, the way it sits right now, I think it would be significantly more expensive to try to renovate that to an operational standard of inmate or corrections officer to inmate staffing levels. Everybody that's hiring right now knows that it's very difficult to find people that want to come to work. And working in a jail environment is, you know, sometimes it's seen as less than, you know, something that the average person would really want to do. You have to really want to do that kind of work to do it. You know, the jail itself, if it moves forward into a new space or a new building, is going to, there's plans in place or not plans in place, but there are sight lines changes. There's, you know, you can increase your number between staff members to inmates monitoring wise by simply changing sight lines. And the way our jail was built, the current jail was built for a significantly less number of people. It needed less number of COs to actually operate it. And now Department of Corrections says you need X number of corrections officers to be working when you're when you have this many inmates. If we had a, we could have a, you know, a, possibly a 20-to-1 ratio in a newer facility.
All right. So the topic of school violence is fairly top of mind at the moment. Beltrami County is no stranger to school violence with the Red Lake shooting in 2005.
Correct.
What are your thoughts about, you know, gun violence in our community?
Sure. I was actually at the Red Lake. I responded that day to that shooting, so I'm very familiar with it. It still haunts my mind to this day. It was very, very traumatic, and I've got very close friends that were there that day as well. You know, gun violence is a reality of society. It you know, it's with the technology and advances in media and reporting. Obviously, gun violence has been something that's gone back to the invention of the firearm. Do we have problems today? Absolutely, we do. You know, I think right now I was doing a little bit of studying on this actually. About 53% of mental health issues are caused by drugs, and only about 10 to 18% of crime is caused by persons with mental health issues. What have we seen in the last little bit of gun violence? It's all been persons with some level of mental health kind of issue. I think this country has a really significant mental health problem.
And that also circles back to the jail. Without, you know, adequate mental health facilities, a lot of these folks who are getting in trouble.
Absolutely. We are in a logjam right now. We've got people in custody right now that need to be, you know, we've got several competency hearings pending. We've got people that are waiting placement at facilities that are more better suited for people that are in mental health crisis. You know, going back to the gun violence part of it, we have so many laws when it pertains to firearms right now. Creating more laws, I don't know that is going to make a hill of beans towards curbing it, because you've got to have the ability to deal with it when it happens, because it's people are going to hurt each other whether they have a firearm or not. You know, you go clear back to, you know, the inventions of primitive weapons. I mean, people did it. One of the biggest mass killings that we've ever had was, I don't remember the exact location, I want to say it was Ohio or Pennsylvania, but somebody came into a school and blew up dozens of people with dynamite. I mean, it just, people will, where there's a will, there's a way. And right now the gun is typically getting the brunt of this.
And as for school safety, you know, of course, Beltrami County would be involved in sort of a response should something horrific ever come to our area again. What sort of leadership role would you take as sheriff to ensure a quick, swift response in the event of these tragedies?
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually been making, since the 2005, we've actually been, I don't want to say preparing because that sounds like we're looking for a fight, but that's ultimately what we're doing. We've gauged our people and we've trained our people in active shooter response. We've taken some grant money. We've received some funding from, forfeitures, the Shield 616 program, providing us with hard armor, helmets, and equipment. And then breaching tools, response for mass trauma care. And we've been training for this, you know, in the event that this ever comes back to our community. God forbid, we do not want that to happen, but we want to be prepared. I myself, along with Captain Lozella of the Bemidji Police Department, we sit on the Area Safety School Council. And that includes the superintendent, principals, Missy Dodds, who is a representative of the National School Safety Council. She was one of the teachers that was up in Red Lake at the time of, and we meet monthly to discuss current, you know, situations in the schools, what happened in Uvalde, Texas, some of the schools that have had shootings near and around them down in the Twin Cities, and we kind of discuss and problem solve what can we do to be more prepared.
All right. Well, I think those are all the questions I have for you at the top of my head. Are there any other things that maybe we didn't get a chance to discuss that you wanted to bring up?
I am married. I have 6 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. My oldest is deployed in the Middle East right now, and my youngest is 5. So, I mean, I've got a span of...
That's quite the span.
It is quite the span of kids, yeah. Outside of that, I think that I'm looking forward to the challenges. I'm ready to roll my sleeves up and go to work. So, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me, Jason Riggs, for Beltrami County Sheriff.